Gerrymandering for Dollars, Texas Style. I'm David Brancaccio, reporting this week from Houston, where we're putting a Texas focus on some of our coverage. But first, home prices are cooling at the fastest pace on record, according to this morning's S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index. In some places, let's take Dallas, home prices dropped 1.9% from July into August, but are still up 20% in a year. But the headline now is deceleration. Drew Mattis is chief market strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Good morning.
Hi, David.
Data just in, it's August, covers August, but look at housing prices in these major cities. I mean, down. San Francisco down 4.3% from July. Phoenix prices down 2.1%. I know, year on year, prices are still up in those places, but you can see the Fed's work.
You know, the interesting thing will be is that as we move towards year end and the additional rate hikes that haven't even fed into the economy begin to feed in, you know, this is probably just the start of a pretty long sustained decline in these prices.
Yet corporate profits keep coming in. I mean, there are some exceptions, but you see a big airline, JetBlue, you see a big car and truck company, GM, did very well summer into the fall. There's still some signs of life in the economy, at least in the summer.
Well, the consumer is looking out, and what they see is a labor market that's extraordinarily strong. And so I think what is going to get the consumer to finally pull back is going to be when we see continued declines in job openings and potentially even, you know, layoffs as we start the beginning of next year.
Drew Mattis, chief market strategist, MetLife Investment Management. Thank you.
Thank you.
Early voting is officially underway in many states, and here in Texas, some are casting ballots in new voting districts, the result of the big redrawing following the 2020 census. The Texas legislature, controlled by Republicans, approved the new district lines. The state is now spending millions to defend itself in lawsuits that claim that the maps violate federal law by diluting the power of minority voters. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
In a drab office building in Houston's Chinatown, there's a sign taped to a door that says, War Room. Inside is headquarters for grassroots groups advocating for Asian American voters. Pawasha Sharwani is there. She heads a Muslim American voter group called Engage.
Our votes have been diluted.
Sharwani says the new redistricting maps enlarge Republican-dominated districts to absorb large numbers of Asian American voters, like in Harris County, where we are now.
The map, for example, for Harris County looks deranged.
Sharwani's group filed one of nine lawsuits challenging the Texas redistricting maps, but the litigation is on hold, so Texas is using the new maps for the midterms. Now the focus is getting out the vote in these new districts.
Did they open?
No.
Kelly Wynn and a couple of other volunteers head out to a suburban street armed with packets of information on how to register to vote.
Hello? Hi. Yeah. Oh, God. Hey.
Wynn encourages an elderly Vietnamese couple to vote, then hands them a packet. After the midterms, the advocacy groups and the Justice Department will turn their attention back to the lawsuits, and Michael Lee will help them. He's an attorney with the Brennan Center for Justice, and he says Texas is spending millions to defend its redistricting maps.
The state has brought in outside consultants to do a lot of that work on the taxpayers' dime.
Now, the Texas Governor's Office and Attorney General's Office didn't respond to my repeated requests for comment on these lawsuits. In the past, though, the Governor's Office has said the state is obligated to defend redistricting maps that were duly enacted by the state legislature. After Marketplace submitted numerous Public Information Act requests, the state did provide some numbers, and so far it's spent more than $2 million on these lawsuits. Election law attorney C. Robert Heath says these cases are extra expensive.
The stakes are big, so there's probably more lawyering that goes into it than a slip and fall case.
Heath helped defend redistricting maps created by Republicans in the early 2000s when they were challenged in court. He says these pricey lawsuits can drag on for years. And Heath has also worked for Democrats. He says when they were in power, they did their share of partisan gerrymandering and also had to defend their redistricting maps in court. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Late this week, a little company up the road here by about 4 hours, ExxonMobil publishes its third quarter results, Chevron as well. Given the prices we've seen, oil majors are expected to do well for the whole year, according to a new assessment. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us now.
This is a report from the consultancy company Deloitte, and it's focused on so-called upstream oil and gas companies. Those are not-so-small companies which do the actual exploration and extraction of fossil fuels. So we're talking about the big giants, the names that we see displayed at gas stations. The Reuters news agency got a look at the report, and it says companies are likely going to see a 68% per barrel increase in their free cash flow. That's accountant talk for profits before subtracting certain expenses. And in fact, earlier this year, Deloitte predicted oil companies will bank a total of $1.4 trillion in cash thanks to the spike in global oil prices we've experienced this year, a lot of it tied to Russia's war in Ukraine.
Yeah, and if there's so much demand for oil business booming, you might think these companies would go out and pump a lot more. Is that in the cards?
You'd think so, but no, and this is where that's a notable difference this year, potentially next year too. According to the Deloitte report, globally, oil and gas companies aren't using all of that additional cash to expand operations. In fact, they're doing the opposite. They're cutting down on their costs. We've seen some of these companies sell off certain fossil fuel assets, and oil and gas companies' executives are being rather cautious. They've chosen to use much of the extra money to pay down debt and send more cash to their investors, David.
From Texas This Week, courtesy of Houston Public Media, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.